Today on Real Radio.
The scripture says there, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth, this is how the church is supposed to be, glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in a mini-series taken from the last six verses of chapter 12. It's called, What Glorifies God? You might say that this portion of the New Testament and the lessons learned is not for the faint of heart, because God is not always glorified through what is perceived as good. Let's continue. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
By repenting from sin, we can give glory to God. We saw that in the book of Revelation. Every time the gospel goes out, I don't want to sound too ancient of days here, but it's nonetheless truth, and it's truth forever. The gospel can never be clearly given in any presentation, in any message, in any crusade or anything without mentioning repentance. You must have repentance in your heart before you can come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because without repenting, Jesus will not be your Savior. You've got to walk away from the sin that you are involved in. The word repent is a nautical term, and it means to change your course or to change the mind. You say, I will not go this way anymore. I see that it is wrong, and I'm going to follow Christ. The second way to give glory to God is by confession. Confession that Jesus Christ, Philippians tells us, is Lord. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Gosh, I run the risk of eating up what time's left, but let me tell you real quick. In Washington this week, I was absolutely overwhelmed. First of all, when the plane was coming into land, you could, as we circled about and went down into the airport, I saw the Washington Memorial illuminated in the night. I got goosebumps. I've seen it in pictures before. Didn't do anything for me. I saw it in real life. I got goosebumps. I thought, well, so what? Big deal. Maybe it's just me. Then on the way in, driving in the car, I saw the Capitol. Got goosebumps. Then got up very early the next morning and went to the presidential prayer breakfast, and Bill sitting right there. But before he came in, you know, people are walking in. And by the way, when Billy Graham walked in, the place stood up to their feet and gave a standing ovation when Graham walked in and sat right next to Bill Clinton. But then there's a moment where everyone stands. They say, please remain standing. It's quiet for a moment. We don't know what's going on. And then they say, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America. And everybody, you got goosebumps all over you. And I felt like crying. I actually had tears. I had a lump in my throat. Because of the office that he occupies is so awesome. There were kings and there were presidents from other nations. And you're just, you know, everyone's just like, wow. And then later that day, we went out, actually the next day, we were walking and touring the city. And we went to the Lincoln Memorial and went to the Washington Monument and all that stuff. And you know the reflecting pond, you've seen it in movies and stuff where you've been there possibly. And we're walking along and I told Tom, the man that I was with, I said, you know, this is absolutely awesome. And he said, you think this is awesome? He said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And when he said that, I went, yeah. I mean, woo, it was great. Because if we were moved by positions of authority, how much more when Jesus Christ appears in glory will every knee bow and every tongue confess, he's Lord. And man, it's going to be a great time. Point 3 that we covered last time is prayer. We can give glory to God by prayer in Jesus' name. And we study that in depth. Giving God our prayers and coming to God through prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that we can give glory to God is through sexual purity. If you are unmarried, if you are single, you are not to be engaged in sex. You are to be practicing abstinence. And I know it's tough, but that's why the Holy Spirit was given to give you power. And then if you are married, we studied how you are to be faithful to your spouse. Sexual purity glorifies God. The fifth thing that glorifies God is a fruitful life, fulfilling the call that God has put upon your life. Your life bearing fruit brings glory to God. We studied that very much, specifically in John chapter 15. Now we come to the sixth point. What glorifies God? And that is love and acceptance among the brethren. Love and acceptance among the household of faith. That glorifies God. In your note-taking, or run with me in your Bible, to Romans chapter 15. And in Romans 15, starting at verse 5, the scripture says there, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may, with one mind and with one mouth," this is how the church is supposed to be, "glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our minds are to be thinking along the same path. Our voice is to be articulating words of the same spirit. We are to act and be in love and acceptance with one another. And by the way, the only way that's going to happen is by going verse by verse through the Bible. It's a proven fact. There's no other way around it. Topical messages are great, but going verse by verse through the Bible will instill within your heart how you ought to love, how you ought to be, how you ought to act. And the way to give glory to God is by loving and accepting one another. And isn't it sad today that we live in a church age where everybody is kind of cliquish? And by the way, we have an usher chip that has been injected into every usher in this place to hunt down cliques. If you happen to discern a clique in this church, I don't care if it's with the nursery right now, if they're all sucking their bottles together and making it exclusive, or in the leadership of this ministry, we are absolutely against that kind of stuff. And if you detect it, send me a note. Give me some names if you want to. But we're not going to allow it in this place. If we do allow it, then love and acceptance will be negated in this body. We have got to be able to dwell together with love and acceptance of each other. Well, I'm this color, or I'm that color, or I'm a Republican, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm this. Hey, I could care less. I had somebody come up and ask me not too long ago, "Jack, I know you're a strong pre-tribulationist." Of course I am. I don't want to be wrong and be a post-tribulationist. But if you are, this guy said, "I'm a post-tribulationist. Am I welcome at this church?" I said, "Brother, you can sit up front." "Absolutely, I love you in Christ." And that kind of hurt my feelings that he would even ask that question. I thought it was kind of obvious here. But you're loved. You're accepted in this body because, listen, I don't want to wig you out, but if you, I love what Michael said earlier about the sin. If you, yeah, there's sin outside in the world. But the moment you get a good view of the sin that's in your life, let me tell you something. It makes it very easy to love and accept you when I turn around and look at how disgusting the sin in my life is. Who am I to think that I am somehow in a standard or in a position that you are not, you know, at or whatever? We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. Isn't it neat how we go verse by, or I should say chapter by chapter in our scripture reading on Sunday mornings, and we're reading this psalm this morning that says there is none who does good, no, not one. That's true. It's easy for me to meet with you and you say, "You know what? I just killed a man." Or, "You know what? I just committed adultery." Or, "I this," or, "I that." Listen, though I've never killed a man with my hands, I've killed men with my tongue. Though I've never committed adultery, I've had the thought in my mind. Though this, though that, the more I see my sin in my life, I can look at you and I say, "Hey, I love you, brother. Because you see, you don't live for me because I didn't die for you. Jesus died for you, so you live for him. And his forgiveness is the one that comes through the cross, and it is unconditional, and it is for you. But we need to be accepting of each other, not tolerating rebellious sin. If someone's in sin and you've gone to them, you show them through Scripture and you ask them to get out of it. That's another thing. We warned them, but even still, we're accepting and loving to them. But when someone has repented, or if someone may not be as wealthy as we are or as poor as we are, we do wrong by isolating them. Being a mature believer is to be accepting of others in the faith. Romans 14, verse 1, and I'm going to read this lengthy part of Scripture. Listen closely. Romans 14, 1 says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment or disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything. Listen to this carefully. This is more applicable to the day and age in which we live in than you think. But another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down at him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does eat everything. For God has accepted him. Jack, you offend me when you talk about In-N-Out Burger all the time. Well, be mature and realize that God has engineered In-N-Out Burger in this world. And if you love broccoli with water poured on it and whatever, personally, I do too. I'll eat anything. I'm kind of like Paul the Apostle. Paul says, as long as it's not offered to an idol, I'll eat it. And then that's basically my philosophy. But if you're a vegetarian and we go out to dinner, if I know that it might be offensive to you that I order a rack of lamb or something like that, then I'm going to order vegetables. I'll enjoy it, man, far out. But don't us, at any time, any of us should ever say, well, wait a minute, brother, you're not very spiritual because after all, Adam and Eve ate vegetables in the garden. Well, yeah, that was in the garden. That's why I call it a garden. It's not what you eat. Jesus says it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles the man. It's what comes out of his mouth. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, we are no better if we eat something religious, or we are no better if we deny eating something. We are the same. God doesn't say, oh my gosh, look, that guy's had broccoli 4 days in a row. Or, this is hard for me to handle, but God says, he's not any more spiritual because he eats it in and out 4 times in a week. It's nothing. But people want us to eat certain things on certain days. The Scripture says, let each man esteem the day unto himself, unto the Lord. Very important. But you see, we get into these weird little clicky things. Do you eat fish on Fridays? No. Uh-oh. Do you eat pork? Yeah. Oh. That's nuts. The Scripture declares that that's silly. But what do you do if you have a brother or a sister who says, you can't eat this? What do? Cut them off from your fellowship? No, you love them. You love them. I had I had a couple sit in my house. And we gave them a meal, and we had a great time. And the guy told me to my face, and he was very loving about it. It was amazing. He said, you know what? I love Calvary Chapels. But as long as you guys worship on Sundays, you guys are an abomination to God. And I went, oh, that's great. Oh, God bless you, brother. Man, I can't believe this guy's eating in my house saying this stuff. But you know what? It was so silly because the Scripture declares otherwise, that you just let it go by. And behind the man's interesting little quirks was a man who loves the Lord and is serving him. And you just let it go. We've got to be accepting. We've got to be gentle. The point in what glorifies God and us being loving and accepting of one another is that judgment destroys this. When there is no sin involved in someone's life and we judge them, we're robbing God of his glory and of his power, so to speak. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, that all of you agree with one another so that there be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. Isn't that great? When you look at me, do you critique me? Do you criticize me when I look at you? Do I critique you and criticize you? If that's in your heart, if that's in my heart, it is sinful and it's wrong. We have to be very careful. The church should be the most open-doored, loving place in the universe. If it's not, then we have missed the first call and command of Christ that we love one another. I hope and I pray, and I believe it's so in this church, that if a prostitute was to walk into this church and sit down, I pray that people would reach out to her and love her. If an IRS agent came in and sat down, I pray that we would love him and minister to him. A man of any color, a man of any nation, of anything, any different language, speech, that we love them. You'll never win them to Christ by isolating yourself from them. Is your Christianity so fragile? Is it so anemic that you have to shelter yourself from the world because you're afraid that the world will affect you and change your life back into the world? Or are you healthy? Are you in prayer? Are you in the Word so that you can go out into the world without the world getting inside you, but you getting Christ inside of them? Very important. We've got to be careful that we are loving and accepting. In 1 Corinthians 3:2, the scripture says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And Paul sadly says, even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. That means you're fleshy. You are a very, very worldly believer. For where there is envy in you, strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? Isn't that neat? We're not mere men. We're redeemed men and women. Holy Spirit living inside. But Paul says, whenever there's a church, whenever there's a gathering, whenever there's a group, and there's divisions, it hurts the Lord. Paul says in Romans 15:7, therefore receive, be accepting of one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Oh man, aren't you glad? We're going to stand before the Lord. Those of us who are washed in his blood, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're going to be standing there and Jesus is going to go, Chuck, come on in. Mark, come on in. Jack, oh, wait a minute. What, you know, you got shorts on and it's Sunday morning. You can't come in. Oh no. No. He's going to say, man, you got those are nice shorts. Come on in. It's what's in the heart. And are we accepting? The seventh thing that gives God glory is unity. Unity among the brethren, which really comes off of love and acceptance, gives glory to God. In Philippians 2:2, the scripture says, fulfill my joy being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but into the interest of others. Let this mind which is in Christ Jesus be in you also. Jesus had a heart and a mind and a sacrifice to bring unity, of course, to the church that was to be born, but to the world. In Psalm 133, verse 1, you know this scripture. The Bible says there, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And I love this, unity. First of all, let's get down to brass tacks and realize, are we always going to agree? No. we're not going to agree. We can be in the same Bible study. We can be in the same prayer meeting. We can serve together forever. And there's going to come points in time when we don't agree. And that's the way it is. What do we do? You know, you hear people say, we agree all the time. Well, something's wrong. Someone's saying yes awful lot. We're not always going to agree. But how do Christians handle that fact? St. Augustine said it the best. And Hank Hanegraaff, who was here a couple weeks ago, you hear it on his program almost every day. Quoting St. Augustine, St. Augustine said, in essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. Liberty among one another. And in all things, charity, love. Isn't that great? In the essentials, the blood, the resurrection, the cross, the essentials, absolute unity. You and I cannot disagree on those things. It's absolute unity because it's absolutely revealed in Scripture. It's clear. It's not open to any man's opinion. It's black and white. When it comes to the peripherals or the non-essentials, liberty. Hey, you might believe this. You might want to worship God on Saturday. Praise the Lord, brother, I love you. You might want to worship God on Sunday. Praise the Lord, I love you. You might be an all-millennialist. You might be a post-millennialist. You might be a mid-millennialist. You might be pre-post, mid-trib, inside out, upside down. Anything else? Hey, concerning that liberty. But whatever we do, it is always to be done in love. We are not to pull out our Bible and bash somebody up. We are to be marked by love, which brings about unity in our lives. In 1 Peter 3:8, Peter says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted and be courteous, which leads us right into the eighth thing that gives glory to God, and that is compassion. Compassion.
And we'll learn more about that on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What Glorifies God, a mini-series taken from the last six verses of the book of Acts chapter 12. It's a very effective lesson on how we ought never to steal or try to share in the glory of the Creator of the universe. Now, there is a growing religion worldwide that maintains that the only true creator of the universe is Allah. And, of course, we're talking about Islam. But, of course, their sacred texts contradict the Old and New Testaments in many ways, and the Bible existed many, many centuries prior. The Word of God will not pass away. And there are now many former Muslims who have come to know the truth. And that is one reason we at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills are hosting the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference in January, where some of these former Muslims will participate. If you haven't yet registered for this ticketed event, just pay a brief visit to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll learn just about all there is to know about the event, even if you're from out of town. In fact, one of the participants is a featured speaker on the DVD we're offering this month for your gift of support to Real Radio of any size. It's called Three Ex-Terrorists Speak Out. That's the title of the DVD, Three Ex-Terrorists Speak Out. So if you haven't yet made the decision to attend the Prophecy Conference in January, watch this DVD, and you'll see just how important it is to gather this information and ultimately to attend. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more about this DVD, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.